Hallelujah. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your strength, giving us victories, making us strong enemy. Thank you, Father. Your light that is shining in our minds. Thank you for how you expose and the works of darkness through the. Thank you, Lord, for how you guide us through the right path. Thank you, Lord, drawing the plan. Stones. Thank you for of darkness. To bring us down. Be praised forever for your truth to us. For making us love your truth and embrace your righteousness. Thank you for breathing upon us and destroying every spiritual death and carnal man. Thank you for your fire burning our spirits, souls. Thank you, Father. Revelations of your word and kingdom that you keep showing the time we come to have Bible study on this platform. Thank you for to know new things that would bring us up in the knowledge of you. I ask, oh God, that as we would be having another class session right now, speak to every one of us. Let this teaching give life and light and understanding that would hear in the name of Jesus. I ask, oh God, that these teachings and obeying that you change our lives into the persons you want us to be in Jesus. That you do not only change our lives, but that you change agents in our generation. That you use us to cause positive changes. That you use us to cause great revival, even in this last day of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you will do beyond our expectations. In Jesus' name, we are. Amen. Yeah. The Lord's presence. And I believe that by the Lord today again. In Jesus' name. I'm going to continue from where we stopped remember that we have been talking on point two, which is understanding and body have on your spirit. And we stuck at point two in this under this part. Yeah, we stuck at point two under this part two. Point two says the spirit dead, the fallen soul made the spirit dead and inactive. The soul made the spirit and inactive. Yeah, and from Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 to 7. And I'm going to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 18. 4, 17 to 18. Ephesians 17:20. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of the understanding, having the understanding darkened, from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, blindness of their hearts, knitted from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, blindness of their hearts. Yeah, in we should not walk as other, because they have vanity. You should take note of the word vanity, and then darkened, and then they have been alienated, and then they have ignorance in them and blindness. Yeah, so all these things passage is all falling soul did to our spirits. Yeah, your falling soul is what your fallen soul, by fallen soul I mean on, you know, your soul from birth is no longer connected to God. Your soul from birth has been disconnected from God. Yeah, but thanks to the Lord, now we can't walk as unbelievers walk. You know what the fallen soul does to your spirit man? If you choose not to in the spirit, what your fallen soul will continue to do to your spirit man. If, let's say, you choose to walk in the path the unbelievers are walking, or if, let's say, you are not yet born again. Saying from these verses, what your fallen soul will always do to your spirit. Yeah. We're told that Gentiles, they have vanity in their mind. Their mind is full of vanity. And it is because their soul has fallen from God. Their soul is no longer that when God gave man the breath of life by breathing into his nostrils, came a living soul. Yeah, but the moment man fell by disobeying God, by taking from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, became a dead soul. And the spirit of man also became dead. Yeah, so the dead soul or the fallen soul made the human spirit dead as well. Yeah, so let me read it again. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testifying the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, for they walk in the vanity of their mind." Yeah, other Gentiles, they walk in the vanity of their mind. Walk, because their mind is full of vanity. Another word for vanity is nothingness. Yeah. A state that is what vanity means. So it's the people who do not know the law, the people who are not following Jesus, their minds are full of vanity. So dear to themselves, things that have no eternal value. So, you know, they hold or they regard certain things in their hearts as so and so treasurable, no eternal destiny, or those things cannot. Yeah, so that's the meaning of vanity, and it is because our souls are fallen. Whose souls have been saved, we should know. So think about eternal existence or whatever you could think of that fall into that category. So think about things that only exist in this world. All of them, their vanity. Building houses, it will end in this world. They will end in this world. In fact, wearing good clothes, they will all end in this world, because this body is corruptible. This, our human body, cannot. Yeah, it's another body that is incorruptible. That's the one that can enter into the kingdom of God. The Bible says, into the kingdom of God. So think about marriage, having children, their vanity, because there's no marriage, children in heaven. Yeah, so think about anything that cannot continue to exist. A vanity. So now, let us now think about things that will live forever. Your spirit will live forever. Soul will live forever. Yeah, so every time you are so concerned about things that will abide forever, then we consider that you are spiritual. According to the Bible, we consider that your heart is not full of vanity. When every time you focus on things that will abide forever, then you makes people to always think about earthly things. Is the fact that their souls are falling. Their souls have lost connection with God from the Garden of Eden. That is why they're always busy thinking about of this world. They're always busy thinking about things that would gratify the pleasures of their body. Yeah. What makes that happen is because our souls have died from God. Yeah. So, but for those of us who are saved, Bible have instructed us to not walk in that car. Yeah, because we have been called out of death and darkness into light and light. Yeah, so we should not walk as those or as unbelievers out there whose minds is full of vanity. And not only that, in verse 18, it says, unbelievers, they have their understanding darkened. Their understanding is so dark because they are far from the life of God. They are strangers to the life of God. So their understanding is so dark. And not only that, they are so full of ignorance because they are that their heart is full of blindness. Their spirit is full of blindness. Because their souls are falling. Yeah. So every time you follow after the dictates of your fallen soul, your understanding will be darkened according to the scriptures, and you will be disconnected from the life of God, and you will dwell in ignorance, and then your heart will be blind. The eyes of your heart will be blind. The eyes of your spirit will be blind. And the fact that your soul has been saved doesn't mean that won't be tempted by your flesh. Yeah. The meaning of, or when we say your soul has been saved, what we mean is that you have been called out of darkness into the light of God. You have been called to follow another controller of your life, meaning that something has been controlling your life, but now you have been called to yield to another person, who is Jesus, who should now control your life. So, despite the fact that you have been called out of darkness, doesn't mean that you can't walk back into darkness. Yeah. So there are two states. There are two states in the soul of a Christian. There's a state, a fallen state, and there is another state that is a state of life, a state of death in your soul. So you can think of, there are two minds. There is the carnal mind, and there is to choose which one you are going to. Yeah. So the fact that Jesus has saved your soul doesn't mean that of your soul is gone. No, it's still there. That carnal part is still there. That dead part of your soul is still there. And it will always be calling you. To slavery. That fallen part of your soul will keep calling you to yield to it. So that is what the Bible means by that is what the Bible meant by when you are carnal, when you are carnally minded, you are dead. But when you are spiritually minded, you are alive and you'll be at peace. Yeah. So there are two states in your soul. There are two minds working inside of you. Yeah. So, but the Bible says, but yield to the spiritual mind. So as we walk in this world, a new us is being created in Christ Jesus. A new us is being formed, is forming in Christ Jesus. So the more you yield to the spirit or to the spiritual mind, the more you keep growing, and that person that you are in Christ keep growing and keep forming. And then the old person you used to be before you met Christ, keep dying and keep going away. So this is the mystery of salvation. But if you feel like, I'm now born again, I can't sin anymore, I can't be tempted anymore, so anything that goes through my mind is correct. The fact that you are born again doesn't mean that your mind will always be pure. Your mind will not want to be pure all the time. So you have to fight. So that is how you will be saved. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So you have to keep fighting that fallen part of your soul that wants to rule over you, the dead part of your soul, the dark part of your soul that wants to rule over you. You have to keep fighting it, and you have to make sure that you are always pure in your mind. So as you do this, that is how you will end up in the kingdom of God. Yeah. So that is how Yeah, so let us, yeah, before I move to the next verse, remember that I said that to your fallen soul or carnal mind, your understanding will be dark, and you from God, and you'll be full of ignorance, and the eyes of your heart will be blind. So what does it mean for your understanding or for your heart to be full of blindness? Yeah, it means that the way you will interpret things will be different from the way as Christians, we are supposed to understand this life as God understood it. So, but when your understanding is darkened, it means that you won't be able to understand situations as God understands. Some situations is always opposite the way God understood situations. Yeah. In fact, when you think everything is falling apart, inside the mind of God, it could be that everything is. Yeah, when you think that everything is falling apart, everything is going down, you look at your life, it's bad, everything is getting worse. It tells you that. But in the mind of, usually it is the opposite. While you think things are God, they are just fine. Yeah, and they're actually working together to live. So when your understanding is dark, when things in this world is poor to the in the understanding of things. Yeah, when the way you see things in this world is not the see those things, that is when your understanding is darkened. You don't know what it means. It means your understanding is dark. And more like that. But the Bible already tell us that we always have light. The understanding, we always have light. You will not be confused, and you will just know what is the will of God. Yeah, that there are some things that I don't even need to pray about them. I don't need to ask God that God, is this thing right? Is this thing wrong? I just know that it is wrong. I don't even need God to tell me anything because my understanding, I just know what is wrong without anyone telling me it's wrong, and I just know what is right without anyone. Understanding is enlightened. That is how I could know what is right from what is wrong, even without having to pray, to know the way forward, to know how to deal with the situation. But there are some that I don't even need to pray, that the light of my understanding will just discern about such situations or about those situations. I believe you get my point. So let's look to another scripture in Romans chapter 1, verse Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 22. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. Verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, out excuse. Verse 21. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither came vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, the summary of this, of these verses that I've just read, is that the state of our fallen soul makes us hold the truth in our righteousness. And number two, make us to take God's glory and give it. Now, in that verse 19, it says that because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Yeah. I have not stopped talking to his creatures, whether believers or unbelievers, God have not stopped speaking to his creatures. So that we have, he was talking about Gentiles in this passage, Gentiles that were serving other gods. He was saying that even they are not Jews, they are not like the Israelites who go in ways to make them believe him and trust him. He was saying that even those people that appears to be on, things that are known of God, keep manifesting in them. God keeps talking to them. But because their soul are fallen, so they could not know that it is God. And even though they knew, they could not glorify God. Because to glorify God, they become less of themselves. To glorify God, we actually mean that they deny themselves. And that they surrender to God. So what is known of God in them was eventually so some of those unbelievers, their conscience tells them. Conscience tells them righteousness. But they don't yield their conscience speaks to them. They try to use things that, I don't know how to put it, they try to use things that they know as right. They try to manage. Let me give you an example. There are some religion. They tell you that we don't we. Yeah, we believe adultery is wrong. We believe that wife should not go and sleep with another person's wife. But then they will say, but we believe prostitution is right. Yeah, they believe adultery is wrong. In the ancient times, we used to have prostitutes working in the temples of some gods. That is what their religion taught them. So they believe that adultery is wrong, but they used to have some women who are prostitutes, and those women, they position themselves in the temples of those gods, so anyone can go and sleep with them. So they believe that the more people sleep with those prostitutes, the more the land will be fertile to yield good crops. Yeah, those are demonic religions. So they try to manipulate the truth. So it says they hold the truth in unrighteousness. So they try to manipulate righteousness, try to make people feel like they are doing the right thing when they are doing the wrong thing. So this shows that somehow God keeps speaking to his creatures, but because their souls are falling, they misinterpret God's righteousness to mean something else, and sometimes they don't even understand the righteousness God was showing them. Yeah, so before the gospel was preached to many, many countries of many countries full of unbelievers, before the gospel of Christ was preached to them, God has been preaching to them from inside of them. Yeah, that is what that scripture says. It says that because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. So through their conscience, through their spirit, God has been trying to show them righteousness. But because their souls are falling, they couldn't see that righteousness. Now in verse 20 it says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. So in everything God created, we can see God in them. Yeah, God keeps showing his wonders, his personality, his nature in everything he has created. In nature, God keeps showing who he is to us, from nature, from animals, from plants, from mountains, rocks, rivers, seas. God keeps showing who he is, but because the soul of man has fallen, he still could not understand. Even when they claimed they understood, they were using that understanding against God. Yeah. It says, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Yeah, and then if you read the other verses, Romans chapter 1, verse 21, verse 22, yeah, you will see how it says, even when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and they were not thankful, and they became vain in their imaginations. Yeah, all of that. And they even professed to be wise, not knowing that their wisdom is foolishness. Yeah. So what God is showing us here is that every time we yield to our fallen soul, our understanding remains dark or will be dark. Yeah. And you will not even be able to thank God. Yeah, I think sometime ago I was sharing with you my experience. Yeah. For a long time, I thought God has not been good to me. For a long time. Though I knew God did, you know, God has been doing a lot of things in my life, blessing me, answering my prayers, releasing his miracles into my life. But I was still not thankful as I should. Yeah, but when God began to expose to me the flesh, God began to expose my flesh to me. He began to expose the nature of my sinful nature. Yeah, he began to expose to me that fallen part of my soul. It was then and I began to realize that God has actually been good to me from my childhood. Yeah. When God began to expose self and flesh that is ruling my life, the dark part of my soul that has been ruling my mind, ruling my thoughts, my feelings. When God began to expose it to me, and I begin to fight it, I begin to kill the desires of my flesh, it was then I now realized how good God has been to me. It was then I now realized that God has been so loving. So there's a way your flesh, your carnal mind, will not make you realize how good God has been. There's a way it will not make me the goodness and glory of God, even in the things he had created. Yeah. So that is how serious it is. So your fallen soul really is a great enemy of your spirit. Is a great enemy of your spirit, man. So you should not yield to the dictates of your fallen soul. Yeah, you should not. It will put you in darkness, complete darkness. Yeah, let us also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Yeah, I read, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Yeah, do you see that? The natural man is fallen. Yeah. And he can't receive the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness unto him. Yeah. Sometimes I used to ask myself, you know, that why is it that we have people in the church who have spent 5 years, 10 years, 15 years as a believer, and yet there are some basic things, fundamental things about God's kingdom they still cannot understand. Yeah, these people, they have become Christians for some time, for some years. But yet there are simple things, basic things, basic principles, fundamental principles about the gospel of Christ, about who Jesus is, about the kingdom of God. And yet they still don't know them. They still don't understand them. The reason is because many of these people, though they go to church, they have chosen to live according to their fallen soul. That is why for years what we keep preaching and teaching, even the things they keep looking at in the Bible, reading in the Bible, for years, doesn't make any sense to them. For years. They've been reading the Bible, meditating on it, hearing sermons, hearing preachings and teachings, but still, they don't understand. There's only one simple explanation to it, and that is these people have decided or have chosen to live according to their fallen soul. They have chosen to be carnal and to be worldly. They just practice Christianity in a way they feel it will be beneficial to their carnal needs or carnal interests. Every other part of Christianity, they don't want to have anything to do with them. That is how serious your fallen soul is. Your fallen soul could make simple things that shouldn't take you maybe a week or 2 weeks to know as a Christian. Your fallen mind can make it, can make it difficult to know. Your fallen soul can make it to appear to you as foolishness, as all these things doesn't make sense. All these things they are teaching us, die to self, love God, strive to enter through the narrow way. Strive to enter the kingdom through the narrow way, through the narrow gate. Don't follow the ways of the world. Don't love money. Don't seek the things of this world. Your fallen soul can make all of those teachings and preachings to be foolishness. Because you have chosen to yield to it, either through lust or pride. In whatever way, or through unbelief, in whatever way you have chosen to yield to your fallen soul, as long as you remain under the influence of your fallen soul, spiritual things will not make sense to you. Many times you keep doubting God. Many times you will consider important spiritual things that are very vital to your eternal life or to your eternity. You consider them as not relevant or as not important. That is how your fallen soul can deceive you and destroy your life. Now, let me give an example. There are some people that, having accessed their spiritual condition, I will tell them that this is how serious your life is, or this is how serious your spiritual situation is right now. So you need to fast, and you need to pray, And you need to take your relationship with God serious. You need to take Bible study and meditation on the Bible serious. And then they, you know, when I speak to them like that, they will nod their head like, yes, I agree. I will do everything you have said. But immediately they leave or we stop talking. I mean, immediately the conversation ends. They just forget everything. All the advice and the counsel that make sure you fast, make sure you pray, make sure you do these spiritual exercises because it will give you victory. It will give you personal revival. It will make you grow spiritually. They just forget everything. And they will do none of them. I mean, they did none of them. So, and I began to wonder that what could make a man to take spiritual things on serious? Yeah, the answer is the fallen soul. Yeah, so meaning that there is something devil is showing these people as more important. There is something the devil keeps showing them as the highest priority in their lives. Yeah, so that is how your fallen soul deceives you. He makes the things of this world, the carnal things, he makes it more important to you than the things of the Spirit of God, than the spiritual things. I believe you understand. So the spiritual things is always more important. Yeah, whether you think it is or not, the things of God's kingdom is always more important. Every day, there's no day that Jesus is not more important. There is no day that winning souls, serving God, pleasing God is not more important. There is no day. Yeah. But the reason why some of you feel like they are not so important, why is Apostle or why is my pastor always talking and talking about this, as if that is all that is in life. The reason why you feel like there's too much noise about this thing, is it that important? The reason why you feel like that is because of your fallen soul. Because you are still yielding to your fallen soul. Yeah. I discovered these things personally. Yeah. And when I discovered it, I lamented because I thought I should have discovered it earlier than when I discovered it. Yeah. So it is our fallen soul that makes spiritual things unimportant to us. So let us look at the last scripture in this point. Let us go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Verse 5 and 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Yeah, this was a grave situation of mankind. This was what God saw before he destroyed the whole world with flood during the days of Noah, God saw that the wickedness of man was great. Yeah, and the most painful part of this is that God saw that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was always evil. Yeah, every imagination of the thoughts of the heart of a man, God saw that it was always evil. And God began to regret that he created man. Yeah, he began to feel sorry for himself that he created man. Yeah, so that is what your fallen soul does. It makes sure that your imagination is polluted, your thoughts are polluted. Yeah. And you can't appear before God with an unclean mind, with a mind full of pollution, and think God will visit you, and think God will touch you, and think God will be attracted to you. And one of the reasons why in a large congregation, some people will be touched by God, some people will be visited by God, and some will be left out, is because God was reacting to what is going on in their hearts. Yeah, some will be healed, some will not be healed, some will be blessed, and some will not be blessed. The reason why we see that happen in churches and ministries is because God and heaven reacts to what goes on in our hearts and minds. God reacts to your imaginations and thoughts. So if your imaginations and thoughts are not pure, you can't receive from God. You can't connect with God. Yeah. You can deceive every other people because we can't see your heart. We don't know what you are thinking. I can't see your heart. And I don't know what you are thinking. So you can deceive me. You can deceive every other people. But there is one person you cannot deceive. And that is God. And of course, even God's angels, you can't deceive them. Yeah, so your heart, the intent of your heart is always wide open before God. Yeah, so that is why the judgment of God begins from inside our hearts, inside our souls. God judges the intent of people's hearts and he rewards them according to the intents of their heart. Some people, they are not sincere with themselves. They will tell God and say, God, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm going to do for you. This is how I want to live my life now. But in their why they are saying those words from their mouth, in their heart, God could see that they do not mean what they are saying. And eventually, there will be no transformation in their lives. They will not receive grace. God will not help them. He will not give them grace because those things they are telling God that they want to start doing, they do not mean it in their heart. So when you pray, are you sincere in the place of prayer? When you ask God to forgive you, when you tell God that you have repented, are you sincere about it? Have you actually repented? Have you actually changed your mind that you won't get angry anymore? You won't be proud anymore? You won't steal anymore? You won't fornicate anymore? Commit adultery anymore? And all of that. Do you actually mean those things when you are telling God about them in prayer? Yeah, because if you don't mean them, God will not give you grace, and he will not give you his blessings. Yeah, because God reacts to the intents of our hearts. Yeah, before God pay attention to the words from your mouth, God will first take into consideration the intent of your heart. Yeah, and I'm going to say this before I round off the class. Do you know that the longer you stay or spend in the Spirit, the more light and life that will fill your spirit. The longer you stay in the Spirit, or the longer you stay in spiritual mindedness, the longer you walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, the more of God's light and life that will be in your spirit. Yeah. If you want to get revelations from God, you want to be able to sleep and God will give you powerful dreams, prophetic dreams, victorious dreams, or God will visit you and then you have an encounter that will change your life. If you want to have such experiences, it will be determined by how much hours you are in the Spirit. Yeah. And then for somebody like me, for instance, that I've made a covenant with myself that I will not live in the flesh, that I will always walk in the Spirit. Then if I keep telling you things like I had an encounter, I got powerful revelations, I had the voice of God, God spoke to me, all those things is a reward of a price I have paid, or of a decision I have made. So there is no shortcut to divine visitations, divine revelations, divine dreams, divine encounters. There's no shortcut to it. So the more you yield to the Spirit, the more of life and light that you have access to, the more of God's life and God's light you will have in your spirit. So if you want God to be appearing to you, then you have to change how you think. You have to change your priorities. You have to change what you focus on. You have to change what you seek after. Yeah, you have to change your mindset about life. Yeah, a lot of things have to change in you. Otherwise, nothing will happen. Yeah, nothing will happen. Yeah, so that is what I want to say. There's no shortcut. Yeah, you are living by your fallen soul. I mean, your fallen soul is controlling your life. Your carnal mind is ruling over your life. Your flesh is ruling over your life, and then you think you will grow spiritually, you think you will be receiving revelations from God, you're lying, or you're just deceiving yourself, because it cannot work. Yeah, it cannot work. So if your spirit is going to be a strong discerning spirit, then what you feed your mind with matters a lot. What you set your mind on every hour matters a lot. What you think in your mind matters a lot. I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. There's no shortcut to it. There's no shortcut. I'm going to stop now. If you have, okay, let me check. Is there any question? Okay. Yeah, there's no question. If you have questions, you can put the question on our Telegram platform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for your word that you have shown us. Thank you for your truth. You have made us to see. Thank you, Lord, for the way of escape, the way of deliverance, the way of salvation you have created for every man that have inherited a fallen soul from Adam. Thank you that now we can make decisions that would lead to the salvation of our souls. Now we can trust in your grace, and your grace can help us to be free from the influence of flesh, death, and darkness. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O God, that as many of us who have believed this message, this teaching, and are willing to start living the right Christian life, oh Lord, help us to live the right kind of life we should live in your presence, in Jesus' name. I pray for you that all the distractions the devil has put into this world to make you yield to your fallen soul, I pray that those distractions shall not have power over you in Jesus' name. If they have been having power over you before, henceforth, those distractions and temptations and pleasures Satan has placed in this world shall no longer have power and dominion over you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.
Goodbye.